Last of Us, but we are back. It has been a long hiatus for us. How are you, honey?
I'm good. How are you? I mean, we haven't not talked since the 23rd of March, 2023, but wow. It's been a while.
It has been a hot minute. How the hell are you?
I'm good. I'm in a very different position in my life since we last left off. I'm
truly
sure we'll get into all of the nooks and crannies, but yeah, I'm good. It's been probably one of the most testing weeks of my life. You've caught me on the end of.
But love that. Good for the content.
Good for the convo. But we're plowing through. I'm feeling better. How are you?
Good. I am so excited to do this again. It was like one of the highlights of my week when we were recording Doing Our Worst. And we've had like quite a few different changes in our lives. So I'm so excited to like update everyone on what we've been up to, what's been happening.
Yeah.
And yeah, but I'm feeling really excited. It's Friday. Feeling good.
We look like twins.
We're both wearing, we rocked up and we're wearing like crew neck grey jumpers.
Like we planned it.
And I've attempted to do my hair like basically what you've managed to achieve. I looked like the Dulux dog this morning, and I had to try and run a straightener through it, and it's turned out, I mean, the 90s wants its streaks back. What is going on? Anyway,
I like your color.
Thank you. We can come onto my hair in a minute because that's like a whole episode in itself. But you have an arguably larger update than streaks in your hair.
Yeah.
You've birthed a whole human.
I've birthed a human. I surely have.
Yes.
It has been the biggest lesson of my life so far.
Yeah. So tell us about little Ivy.
Yes, so Ivy was born on the 26th of August of last year, which seems ludicrous because she is 6 months this month. And I'm like, wow, you've been here for half a year already. I just can't.
That's crazy.
I can't even believe it. And it's not felt that long at all because you live every day in like sheer X Games mode at this point. And I don't think that ever goes away, if I'm honest, from people who I've spoke about.
Better X Games than Squid Games,
as I always say. But this phrase of babyhood and motherhood has been challenging. It's been really challenging. And in fact, more challenging than the newborn phase, I would actually say.
Why do you think that is?
I think because the newborn phase, like you're obviously, everything's new. So the novelty's like still there. Like they're this tiny, tiny, tiny dot. And literally all they do is eat, sleep, poo.
Shit.
Again, like, and it just goes around. So like, I remember when, you know, she was first born, like we would sit in the living room and she would stay asleep on us for like 4 or 5 hours, wake up, eat, and then we'd just go again. So like, even though we couldn't put her down, like she was constantly like contact napping on us, you felt like you had time to like talk to each other and do things. But now, not the case. Now I get about a 10-minute nap out of her and she's like, hello, I'm back. I'm like, cool, great. So I did nothing then. And we're now just going into the weaning phase of life. So I've been trying her with a few things. She's obsessed with banana. I've never seen her face light up the way
just
it
like
does.
Just like her mum.
Yeah.
Might be a bit weird to make jokes like that. Yeah, I need to stop. Yeah, sorry. I literally can't help it.
I don't know where to go from there.
Just talk about the actual fruit. She loves banana.
Yeah, loves banana. I think it's more so that they're just so... we're in that state, like that phase where she can't sit up by herself. So I can't like put her in like a cot with toys in, like what a lot of people do, or like a contained area
like
where she's safe.
Jail. And we can't baby wait for jail. Baby jail.
Yeah. So I can't do that yet. But like equally, she wants to sit on her own and she wants to play and she wants to. So we're just kind of in that, like we've got this little chair thing that she sits in with in the kitchen where it's got like little play stuff on. And she's like, guys, if you put me in there one more time, like I will cry, like I'm gonna cry because I'm bored of it. So just needing stimulation. And when you're trying to run a business, have a baby, you know, maintain a house, a dog, a relationship, it's quite a lot.
It's a lot of plates that you're juggling.
So many plates.
How do you feel like, I'm just really curious actually how your relationship with Jack has changed since becoming parents. Like, has it changed in ways you expected, or has it stayed similar? Like, I'm curious like what that looks like.
Yeah, I think I had like a want to not fall into this like roommate story that everyone tells you, like, and there's loads of reels about it when you're kind of you fall upon the parent algorithm of the reels, and it's like, you know, we're in the roommate phase, and you know, we don't talk, and we're not having sex, and blah 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 blah. And I really didn't want that to happen, and I kind of knew it wouldn't happen with me and Jack, because I think we're very
solid,
different, and in love, and yeah. All of the things, and yeah, solid. So I think we've created a lot of space for us to have time together. Luckily, my mom and dad love having her. And I had to do a lot of like guilt work on the fact that she was going to theirs. And, you know, they looked after her when she was quite young. And there was so many moms that I was doing the groups with were like, oh my God, you've left her with your mom? And I'm like, well, yeah, like,
what
do you want me to do?
As though you've left her with a rabid dog.
Yeah.
Like, can we calm down, please?
It was a weird experience. So like, I kind of then was like, should I not be leaving her yet? Like, do I not have a life now? And so like, that was the whole navigation around that. But like, we've really tried to have date nights still and things like that. And it's been, you know, absolutely fine. I think the only thing that's really stretched us is we're, you know, me and Jack are like fucking Siamese twins. We do everything together. Whereas when with Ivy, it's like one's working, one's got Ivy, or one's at the gym, one's got Ivy. So you're
like tag teaming.
You're kind of never allowed to do anything together unless it's the three of us with her. So, you know, our actual time together. Luckily now she's going to bed at like 6 p.m. down in the cot. And so we have like 6 till 9 together. But then you're knackered from the day and you're trying to, you know, I'm trying to wash the bottles. And like, so it's been... It's been hard in the navigation of like, I did not want to slip into us being roommates, and I don't think we ever would be, but like, you have to really be conscious about it. This is very easy to, very easy.
Oh, I can imagine. And it's like, there is no bigger responsibility. You are literally trying to keep a human being alive.
An actual human. It blows my mind. They send you home with like, no, they don't tell you anything.
I just can't imagine. I feel like a baby.
Everything is guesswork. It's mad. Yeah.
And I think it's like almost unrealistic to think that your relationship would stay exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know, like it's going to shift a little bit, but as long as you're like solid, as long as you're a team, I suppose,
it is, and
it feels
teamwork.
Like you're equally trying to keep the boat.
Yeah. And I think we've got like, you know, I know that I'm very fortunate to be in the place where I actually hired Jack full time when I was on maternity leave, which I know a lot of people don't have that. Whether it's a luxury or not, I mean, I worked fucking hard to get that. But like, you know, we got to a position where he could be around all the time. And, you know, that's allowed me to carry on working, but not work as much. He's pursuing his photography career and stuff. So it's given us a really nice base. And I think like, again, like a lot of the girls that I do the baby classes with, they're like, oh, my husband leaves at 6. He gets back at 7 p.m. and you know he doesn't like there he's been at work, so he kind of doesn't want the baby straight away. He wants an hour to decompress. And I'm like, what? Like, I just couldn't imagine that life. And I know that's a life for many.
Just makes me mad.
Yeah.
I'm like, it just, you know, really what you're getting into. Yeah, it just really makes my blood boil, actually. And I am so not there yet in my life. Like, I could not be more single right now. But like, I was away actually on the weekend. I was doing an EFT tapping course, which is really interesting. And I was talking to like some of the amazing women that were doing the course with me, and just like hearing some of their stories and about how much of the mental load they take on and the physical load of like raising the children, and it's not equal at all. And they are still working, by the way, like full-time working. And then they're always the ones that have to like deal with the school and the emails and this and that. And I was like, fuck that, honestly. Like, it's just, it almost like it puts me off a little bit. And I know that parenthood is meant to be amazing, and I'm sure it is in many, I mean, you, I know that you love being a mum to Ivy, but I feel like I hear so many things that put me off. It's almost like the pendulum swung the other direction. Everyone's like, we need to be more honest. And then I'm like,
yeah,
oh, like, I don't even know.
What's wrong with that?
Why is everyone doing this?
I know. Like, I literally saw my friend announce that she was pregnant the other day, and I was like, just you wait. Like, that was my first reaction.
Yeah.
Like, and I want to be fair. Like, it's been fucking hard. Like, I don't have time for myself anymore. Like, I don't get to sit and watch, you know, vlogs for 3 hours if I want to. Like, you know, all of like those little moments. And I know that's not forever, but when you're in it, you're like, this is my life forever. Like, that's how
relentless.
It feels. It's relentless. But yeah, I think like I'm very lucky with how Jack is with Ivy. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It's just stunning, like the way that he is with her and the love and the play, and like he wants to have her. Like, I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, Beck, Like,
she is my child.
She is my child. But as the mother, you're like, no, it's my sole responsibility. Like, I made her, I birthed her. Like, no. I must be with her at all times. Like, so you do switch into that sometimes. It's a bit weird.
Yeah, it's like a mental adjustment.
Yeah.
And you're a whole ass fiance.
She got.
God.
You put a ring on it.
You put a ring on it.
Yes, yes, New York Times. So we got engaged in a helicopter above the New York skyline. It was just an absolute
dream.
Just so
dream. Casual.
Yeah. Just a casual helicopter ride.
Yeah, really low-key.
Really, really not one to boast about. But
no, it was so nice.
It was beautiful. It was amazing. It was so good. And it was Christmas time. And I think Jack was really wanting to do it somewhere that could be like a memory for us forevermore. Like he wanted a location that we could go back to and be like, this is our little thing. So it was amazing. Minus the actual, like, well, the actual proposal didn't go to plan, but when does it ever?
I feel like it never does. Every time I hear someone's proposal story, there's always, like, it's usually, like, and we're talking heterosexual relationships here, but it's usually the woman that, like, fucks it up somehow. Yeah. Like, so he'll be like, let's go for a walk. And she'll be like, I don't want to go for a walk. Let's do this. No, I don't want to do that. Or, like, let's take a photo. What? You never want to take photos. Like, they're kind of like, and they soil the plan.
Constant.
But yours was an external force.
I saw a reel the other day and she was like, tell me, girls, like, has there ever been a proposal where you haven't known that they're going to do it? Because I just don't believe that that's out there. Like, I don't believe that any girl is surprised.
Yeah, there's always, like, a pretty big inkling.
You've got to know. But Jack did, Jack threw me off so much. Like, I was 100% sure, could tell you, you know, handwritten, done. Sealed, signed, sealed, delivered, like, before we got there. But, like, he was letting me go in his bag. Like, he was really, really casual and chilled. Like, there was just no sign, like, to the point of when we got to the helicopter place that he'd bought me for Christmas. This is what his whole story was. I messaged his sister and I was like, Hannah, it's, like, definitely not happening. Like, there is not one sign of him going to be proposing to me tonight. Like, there's just no sign. So he did a very good job.
Like, there's a helicopter, like whizzing its little propeller in the background. You're like, there are no signs.
No, it could have just been a helicopter ride.
Sure, yeah, just a casual helicopter ride. I remember when it happened, I wrote on my notes section in my phone, Beck's gonna, and I don't know why I even did this. It's kind of weird, but I was like, Beck's gonna get engaged. And obviously, like, the timestamp and everything, I was like, I just have this really strong feeling that it's going to happen. And then you messaged me and I was like, oh my God. And I sent through the screenshot.
Yeah, you did.
That's so funny. I had this feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was fun. And we conceived in New York. So I literally got engaged and then was pregnant.
Got pregnant.
Like, within 2 weeks of that happening. So
you ticked off a lot of life first.
We did. I know. And like, I know I was completely blessed for it to be first time trying, but like, I didn't think it would happen that quickly.
She's fertile.
Yeah, I mean, my mom used to tell me, like, you look at sperm and we'll be pregnant. That's who we are. That's how we are as a family. So I should have just listened. Really,
she was right. At that little sperm.
Yeah, and off we went.
And here's Ivy,
pregnant for the whole of last year, which was a fucking joy.
We can come on to that later. That's like a whole.
Anyway, let's talk about you.
Okay, I equally have, like, massive life changing updates.
Yes.
So last year, I decided to dye my hair red.
Oh, woohoo. I love it. I forget
just as big as having a baby and getting engaged. And it was a disaster. I regretted it so much, so, so much. I thought, so I've been blonde for 10 years. And I was like, let's just try something. I'm bored. I just want to do something different. And then I decided to dye it red. And at first, I really liked it. I thought, this looks really cool. I really like it. And then the upkeep. Oh, my God. No one warned me.
Of the sheer amount. Yeah.
And at least if they did tell me it requires upkeep, they didn't emphasize. How much upkeep? I had a friend the other week who is blonde and she was like, I'm going to go copper. And I literally grabbed her by the shoulders, looked her dead in the eye. And I was like, you need to understand what you're getting into. It was probably like you and your friend who's about to have a baby.
Yeah, I will be having that conversation.
Yeah. And I like grabbed her by the shoulders like, don't do it. Unless you are willing to like put shit in your hair every single week. It looks different in every wash, every light. Anyway, I even feel my blood sugar, my blood.
That was
my blood pressure.
That was building. That was I was building with angst.
That was passionate.
Do you find that your blonde is coming back through? Is that what's fighting it? Like what?
Well, I dyed it brown again, and now I'm in this like weird no man's land. I'm sort of like, this is why I'm like looking at my hair in this thing, and I'm like, what's with the streaks today? They're really streaky. But I'm going to go back lighter. I feel like when you have been blonde and then you just lose that, it just...
I know.
I just miss it so much. Like that was... I just feel more confident. I feel more myself when I'm blonde. I think I look better when I'm blonde. I just miss it.
I do think that this suits you. Like, and I think you carry it very well. Like, I don't think I would carry that color at all. But like, I do like you blonde, and you know.
Yeah, I miss it. I want my hair to look like yours, basically. I'm jealous. This is kind of similar to my natural color. It's warmer than my natural color. Yeah. But like, I am naturally brunette. So that's probably why I look okay with it. But I just am like.
Yeah, time to go back.
Time to go back. I bought a flat.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you're talking about dyeing your hair red, but actually you've done one of the big three ticks of
one of the big
life.
Three. Yeah, so I bought a flat. So I have moved in. I'm currently in the, like, I'm balls deep in, like, paint boxes, reno mode. It's funny because when I moved in, I didn't actually think that I would have that much to do. I was like, it's a pretty blank canvas. Like, I'll just have to, I knew I had to paint. Everything has just taken 10 times longer than what I thought it would take. Like, for starters, I ordered the wrong paint color. I took about a million goes to even try and find the right color taupe. It's been a real challenge. And also learning to live alone, like adjusting to that. I've never lived alone before.
How is it? Because that to me sounds fucking delightful, right?
It actually is. Like, you're probably like, give me your life. This bitch complaining about, like, dyeing her hair red and, like, painting her walls.
No.
But I do really love it because I do love my alone time. Mm. But what I have found is I am more extroverted than I am introverted. And so I have to make sure that I have social plans throughout the week / on the weekend. Like, I can do, like, a day or two without them. And then after that, I start to feel like I start to go a bit crazy.
Yeah.
And the other week with the storm, I went full blown asylum mode.
For the whole week.
Yeah, I just needed to talk to people, and I just felt like my mental health just like take a massive nosedive, and I hadn't felt like that in a very long time.
Yeah, we're the same with that though, because we get our energy from, like, I always say, like, I don't necessarily need to talk to other people. Like, I just need to be in a space, like, even just in a coffee shop sometimes, I'm like, perfect. Like, just get my energy from other people. Like, and I think we're very similar in that way, aren't we?
Yeah. Like, need our alone time, but also need to be around people.
Yeah.
Almost in, like, equal measure, I would say. Yeah, like, I feel like I need both.
Yeah. Has it felt better now you've kind of had that epiphany?
Oh yeah, I feel completely normal now. You know, when you start to spiral and you're like, my entire life is a disaster, I'm a failure, everything is terrible, I'm gonna be alone forever. Like, that is literally where my mind goes when I'm in like the worst of my spiral. And so after that, like, I just like went on a course, saw people, hung out with friends, and I was like, everything's
we're
fine.
Okay.
We're totally fine. We're all gonna be okay.
Yeah.
The world is not coming to an end.
What was the scariest bit of like the whole buying process?
The buying process was wild because it was so fast.
Really? Oh yeah, you like fully went ham.
And I do this all the time, like with everything. So when I basically started looking for a flat and then bought a flat within 4 weeks.
Because who does that?
Because why wait?
I am.
And I found the whole thing so overwhelming. I think what I do is I get bursts of like motivation and I just have my eye on the prize and I'm like, right, I've got this goal. I really want to do it.
Yeah.
And so I booked all of these viewings. Real estate agents in the UK, have a good hard, long hard look at yourself, because what is going on? The level of incompetence is astounding.
Trust me.
And I know you're in the thick of it at the moment. Truly. I remember I went to one viewing and I was like, and he looked about 12 for a start. He like rocked up in a hoodie and I was like, okay, we're going to start rapping in a minute. And then he was basically didn't know anything. I was like, and so remind me how much this flat is. And he was like, I think it's 250. It wasn't. Like, he just kept not knowing anything. It was just like the level of incompetence was crazy. It was just astounded me. Anyway, but I eventually found this place, and actually I wanted another flat, but then I realized it was like out of my budget. Didn't realize that because of how it's advertised and home reports.
All of the things.
All of the shit that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I ended up looking at this flat, initially thinking, I don't know, because I just seen the flat that I loved, and the flat that I loved is a little bit more spruced up, let's say. Anyway, everyone, it was funny because I showed a bunch of people this flat. I took a video of it, sent them the video, and they were like, we prefer that flat. It's like brighter, it's more spacious. And I was like, oh, okay, interesting. And then I ended up doing a second viewing because I was like, okay, I'm feeling better now that I didn't get the other one I wanted. I'm going to go back to this
one. Yeah, you're looking at it through different eyes, aren't you?
Totally.
Yeah.
And so I came back to this one and I liked it a lot more. And I was like, actually, I could see myself. It was a good location. I thought it was like a cute flat. I could do stuff with it. Put my own stamp on it, et cetera, et cetera. And then I put an offer in and then 24 hours later it was accepted. And then the day after I got a huge migraine. Never had a migraine in my life. I threw up.
Up level.
I really took it in my stride. I went on a walk the day I got the offer accepted and I was in a daze. I think I'd just gone ham. I got pedal to the metal.
Yeah. So much going on so quickly.
So much going on. I was so overwhelmed, was learning so much. Didn't have my parents here, so I didn't have anyone to sort of like bounce off. And they don't understand the system here. And anyway, and so I went for this walk and I ran into a friend and she was like, are you okay? I feel like I'm in a dream.
No color in your face.
I looked like a zombie. I was so delirious. And then the next day I literally just died a death and had to stay in bed. I could not move all day. It was really strange. Never had that before.
The body knew she'd done something big.
Yes. And also the body knew that I had gone insane that month. I'd just done too much.
Yeah.
So I could do less, Katie. Yeah. Do less.
But now you're in and we're painting and we're doing things to the walls.
We're painting, we're molding, it's all happening. Slowly buying the decor bits.
Beautiful sofa, which I love.
Yes.
I love
it. Even that came and I was like, it's too big.
Yeah. It's hardcore, isn't it? I just think it's bigger than a wedding, I would say, for sure.
I would say. I know, I've never done that, but
Neither have I.
Are you planning your wedding? What's the story? Are you just chilling for a moment?
So basically, we're going to do Italy. But
nice.
We're kind of in this no man's land where we've got Ivy and one of my good friends got married last year and she's got three children and she actually waited till they'd finished having kids to get married because she was like, well, if one's there, I'd rather them all be there and then let them have that experience, which I think is very cute. The fact that your kids can be at your wedding. So I think that doesn't happen. Well, it does now, but not so much, you know. Back in the day. So we were like, do we go and do it now? I'd want her to be able to walk. So then we'd have to wait till she was past 1 year old. And then we'd probably start thinking about having the other one with the gap that we need, all of the logistics of when number two comes along. Yes, I'm going to have number two, by the way. It's not been that bad. But yeah, so I think logistically, it's probably going to be the next 3, 4, if not 5 years. And to be honest, I just want to be married to Jack. I don't really care to do it. I want to have his name. I don't like that Ivy doesn't have, we don't have the same name. She's Ivy Lane, which is the best name ever in the world.
I love her name. It sounds like a famous person.
Yeah. Yeah. We've set her up for success.
You have.
But yeah, so I think that there is a potential that we could be doing it this year in the way of just getting kind of registry little meal. Yeah, so
I love that.
Just because I don't want to wait, and then I'm like, what are you doing it for anyway? Yes, I want to throw a huge party and have 3 days of absolute epicness in Italy in a villa with all my favorite people. But you can do that whenever. And I kind of a bit actually, I could just go today down the registry, sign a couple of papers, and be Rebecca Lane.
Get it done.
That's gonna be so weird. So weird.
Yeah. How do you feel about dropping your last name? Was that ever a thought that you would keep your last name, or has it always been I'll take Jack's last name?
Yeah, no, I think it was always that I would take Jack's last name. I think there's a couple of things. I think the next child that we have, I think Hayden will be its middle name and I'll carry that through. And I think that would be just a little nice homage.
A nod
to it. I think it would have been weird because I used to be called Hayden. Everyone would call me Hayden. That's what I was called for a very, very long time. But that was way back in 2013 days. And since then, I don't really relate with that.
I cannot imagine calling you Hayden or Hades. It sounds really
H-A-Y-D-S. Yeah, and to the point of I would have it on, if we did shows, I'd have Hades on the back. It was, that was my name.
Yeah.
And people who were in that like time of my life still call me that, weirdly.
Weird, yeah.
But I think because it's like not, it's not something that I go by anymore. I think the only thing is like changing the business name. Like there's quite a lot of logistics around it. But yeah, I think if I could carry it through, hopefully we have a boy next. I mean, how can I do that? I don't know. But if we have a boy next, the middle name, to be fair, Hayden.
Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I know. So yeah, I'd definitely carry it through. And then my brother can have kids and he can carry the name on. Like it's not going anywhere. So
yeah,
as long as he, you know.
Does. It's funny, isn't it? It's like, do I keep my dad's surname or do I take my... It's always like the surname of a man anyway.
Yeah, it's so weird. And like a couple of my friends actually, that the husband took their name.
I love that.
Yeah. So, but I do... Like Ivy Lane sounds so much better than Ivy Hayden.
Lane is a nice...
Yeah.
Lane
so is a nice. It's awesome. Nice. Yeah. Cute. I think that would be the go-to.
Love that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Molly Mae documentary.
God.
Thoughts, feelings, opinions, notions, motions, or what are your thing? What are your thoughts on the whole thing?
First of all, I'm just going to put it out there. Like, I am a super fan and have been for a long time.
That's a big word, super fan.
Yeah, Jack will tell
Never
you.
Never miss a vlog.
Never miss a vlog within a second that it's put up. But no, I think like I didn't watch that Love Island that she was in, and I didn't know her really until she had Bambi. I've only started watching, so I'm not much of a super fan really. If we look at the logistics,
you're a recent super fan.
A recent super fan, and I think she's very different now since she had Bambi than she was before. I just love her. Like I love how vulnerable she is. I love how she deals with things. I mean, like I had a YouTube video go like half viral the other day. It's got like 8,000 views, and I had a comment about I was drinking and like breastfeeding, and then these comments have gone fucking off on one to the point of like I had another one last night, and I have privated the video because I'm like, I can't deal with this. I cannot deal with it. Like I'm like, this is why you haven't gone viral yet, Rebecca, because you can't deal with this. And I'm like, how is she sit? Like I look at some of the comments that go on there on her photos, her posts, her you, and I'm like, girl, the way that you deal with that, like how you keep showing up for people, like how she's very clever as well. Like, I just love her. I really like her.
I really like her too. I think she seems really genuine and really sweet and like very relatable in many ways. I mean, her life is totally unrelatable in many ways, but I think she just seems like someone you'd want to like go for a coffee with, you know, chat to.
Yeah.
I don't know how vulnerable I found the documentary though, if I'm being honest.
I don't know whether like in the way of vulnerability, like he was drinking too much and like that was all that was kind of needed to be shared. Like what else do we want to know? Like what else do we need to know?
I want to know everything. Okay. I want to know the intricacies of everything. I want the tea.
There were so many hints, like, you know, that one, and we obviously look at like a language and emotions way more than the average Joe, don't we? Like, so like there was one bit where she was talking about her sister's wedding and like the way that she spoke, like the way she choked up and like she couldn't even get to the end of the sentence in that, in the way that you could like, I fully made that story that he was just an absolute douchebag at the wedding.
Yeah. So like, this is what I want to know. I know that like he's the father of a daughter.
Yeah, but we've got to prepare him, like we've got to, you know, keep his fucking sanity as well. Like imagine if someone just outed you like that.
Oh yeah, but I like he's obviously agreed to it. And also, I think like if you're going to do a documentary, you kind of have to be quite vulnerable. Like if you saw the Robbie Williams documentary,
the monkey.
He's obviously more past it, whereas this is, no, not the monkey one, that was the movie. That was great though, honestly. Okay. Go see that. So, so good. But Robbie Williams documentary, although he's kind of speaking more in hindsight, was I feel like Molly's situation is still very raw.
Like they're not, like are they back together? Like that's still going on. Like, and I never speak about things online that I'm like currently sitting in the moment. Like it just, it's too raw almost.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah. And I think like, and I think they've got to be, what I saw with the documentary is the whole concept was basically announcing that they probably are going to get back together. And she's covering the fact that this is what's happened. We probably are going to get back together. Please don't hate me for getting back with him. That's what I felt like the documentary was.
Like, yeah, it was almost like it was setting an announcement
of like, we probably will be. And there's been so many things since. I don't know whether you've seen it, but like she filmed something the other day and in the reflection, Tommy was sitting in the living room. And then there was another thing where Tommy had took a picture of his breakfast and they were like, it's the table at the house.
Oh my God, the sleuthing.
There's crazy, crazy people out there. So I do think that, but like I loved like, I think the mom, like the chats with her mom was very like open, and I felt like that did go quite deep in the way that how her mom was like, I was scared for you at some points and stuff. Mm. Like, I feel like they did give more than usual.
Yeah, they gave a bit. I felt like it wasn't specific. No, I just feel like it wasn't specific. It was like, yeah, you drank too much and that was kind of it. And then she teared up a few times and then it was sort of like, okay, now let's talk about my pop-up. And it was like low stakes pop-up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like drama around like the curtains or whatever. And I was like, that's not, I don't know. Yeah. I don't get me wrong, binged it, enjoyed it. But I was like, maybe I'm just a nosy little bitch. Yeah. I just want to know
more. We all are. The vowel bit killed me. Like, I listened to that song on repeat after the, you know, like the song that they got engaged to. I was actually like,
I
feel like the next three episodes are going to be more juicy because like the next episode is them kissing at New Year, which was actually them. Like, there's like, and on one of her vlogs, she was like, we literally in real time were putting out fires last night at 10 p.m. Like, they had to come around the house and stuff. So like, I think there'll be way more in it, but Zoe does not like him. That is for sure.
Very telling. I always think, and this is kind of why, like, obviously Molly Mae, do what you want. Obviously she's not going to listen to Katie Bambrick. Do you know, like, do what you want, live your life. But I just feel like you can do better.
Yeah.
I just feel like, yeah. And also, I think it's so telling when, like, your friends and family are not for you being with your partner.
Yeah. And Zoe really wasn't, was she?
Yeah. And Zoe seems like a pretty switched on, like, head screwed on kind of girl. And I just feel like that says a lot. Like, if my sister was really like, I think you need to move on. I don't think you should be with your partner. I'd be like, fuck, like, I really need to.
He means it.
Yeah.
It's just throw a kid into the equation and everything changes though.
Yeah. It's
like, I really feel that. Like, I would make, you know, like every, I would make it, I would try and make it work because I just want that for them. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think you can probably put yourself in that position even more because you have a kid with your partner.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when people were like, you won't know tiredness until you become a mom. I'm like, I really didn't know tiredness. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy. But yeah, I think like that for me, I was like, I probably would make it not to the detriment of what it sounds like it's causing her at the moment. But I think you probably would stretch it further than if there was no strings attached.
Perhaps. Yeah. They're also so young.
I know.
Like, she's like 25 years old.
Yeah.
That is insane to me. I remember hearing when she was pregnant, I was like, hang on, isn't she like 22? Like, she was young.
She was really young, wasn't she? But that's how in love she was, like, in the fact that she knew that that's what she wanted straight away with him.
Yeah.
But you don't really ever see their relationship anyway. He was never on the vlogs before, ever. So like, there's never been a moment where I've really seen them because I didn't watch Love Island either. And I mean, she looked like a whole different person at that point.
Yeah, she truly did. Like, even the clips going back, I was like, oh my God, I forgot about the teeth and the filler.
The filler.
The hair.
It was crazy.
The filler was fillering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, I resonate with her. And even though her life is, like, you know, extreme, but, like, we live in that world a bit as well, don't we? In the fact of, like, we see other people making, not as much as she does, but, like, that insane amounts of money, so it doesn't feel too far away. And I think that's what people, a lot of, you know, when Maybe came out and they were like, how are you charging this much and blah blah blah, and I was like, well, you know, come on guys.
Well, come on who? The people that are saying you shouldn't be charging this much?
Yeah, like, what else is she gonna do? Like, you, like, you know, there's so many things with, like, no one wants you to use polyester, and then you put polyester in, and then everyone shouts at you, but then you've got to pay more because it's cotton. And there was a whole thing on Odd Muse yesterday with that. So like, I just think, like, you're just constantly fighting a battle with the keyboard warriors.
I think it's like counterculture, like, as soon as someone gets big, people try and tear them down, especially women.
Crazy.
Especially women. Yeah.
Like, even those comments on my YouTube video, I was like, what is going on? Like,
what were people saying?
Am I not allowed a fucking drink? Like, what the hell?
What were they saying? Like, you shouldn't, what are you doing?
Because it's a bit, so, like, I breastfed for the first 6 weeks, and there was, like, a clip in the video. And, like, basically, you can drink when you're breastfeeding. I did a lot of research about it. I asked a lot of people, and they were like, yes, if you do it at a certain time. In fact, if they're feeding, you either do it, like, a certain amount of hours, because then it goes into your blood or whatever, or you do it whilst you are and then they've finished by the time the alcohol's, like, you know, there's like ways to do it. So in this one clip, like, I was drinking a small glass of rosé and like people were going off on it. Literally, the one yesterday was something about, like, you're not doing the best for you and your family. You're doing what makes you happy, unsubscribed. And I was like, cool.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
you will be missed.
I'm
random internet person.
Digestive. I mean, her name was crazy, but like, it was.
So like, when you got those comments, because I know you said you privated the video, and I know that you've had like that. This has been, actually, we did an episode all about judgment on the podcast. And this has been like a niggle for you in the past. And obviously, like, it's still a bit of a niggle. Was there a part of you that was just like, push through? Or were you just like, I cannot cope?
I pushed through the first comment. So like the comment that came through yesterday, like, you're not doing what's best for your family. You're doing what you feel like doing to make yourself feel good. Let's be real. Unsubscribe.
First of all, learn to speak English.
Yeah. Let's be real.
Sentence structure had the integrity of like a wafer biscuit, but okay, the structural integrity.
So the first comment came through maybe about 3 weeks ago, and it was something like, oh my God, is she breastfeeding while she's drinking? I cannot believe it, or something like that. And then there was like another two comments of like people supporting me, which I was like, mate, like, and that felt really uncomfortable when that comment came through, and I was like, like, this is.
Yeah, because you're being attacked. Like,
yeah, like, and I'm being attacked. And like, you know, I said to Jack, I was like, it could have been non-alcoholic, but I'm still being attacked. You know, no one knows the whole thing. Like, I could have decided to give up breastfeeding in that 10 minutes and that was my last one, and I thought I'd have a drink with, like, no one knows the concept of it. And I think that's where I get annoyed, is that like I can't win that, but I can't tell them that.
Yeah,
I can't tell them that I'm now not breastfeeding and she's fucking the most amazing kid ever and she's fine. Like, I can't prove that. And I think that's where I get like, I can't justify myself. I wouldn't even fight back because I'm not like that. But like, you don't know me to make that comment. And I think that's what I get thingy at. And then I've had a week.
I've had a week.
And then last night, like, Ivy woke up at 1:30 and she was taking a while to get back to sleep. So like, when it's like longer than a certain amount of time, I'm like, I have to go on my phone because I'm just staring at the wall. So I went on my phone and I saw this email, and like, because it comes through as an email, the comments. And like, my first thought was like, my body cannot take anymore this week. So I was like, I'm just going to private it for a little bit. I'll probably put it back on. But equally, I said to Jack, like, the two videos, annoyingly, that have gone semi-viral over the last couple of weeks have been the newborn, let go to the Cotswolds, and the first week of newborn. So my whole YouTube is not about newborn, and it's not really about babies. Like, it's about my life, and I happen to have Ivy. And so I feel like a lot of followers recently have been not that I want ideal clients on YouTube, but not the people that I want to be talking to anyway. So I was just like, I'm getting berated by people that I don't even want in my world anyway.
No.
So I will put it back on. I will. But
even like privatizing the comments. And it is funny, isn't it? Because it's almost like the price of admission for being bigger and getting a larger audience, and like, you are going to get trolls.
Yeah, I have to be, I mean, I'm going to have to do work on it, because like, I want that, like, I want to be known more. But like, I think it's the whole, everyone's got an opinion about everything. And this is what I was reflecting on, is like, the industry that we're in, people are more regulated, and people can have an opinion, but they're more regulated to whether they share that opinion or not. They're like, I have that opinion, but I probably could keep it to myself. I don't need to comment. Whereas I think when you go wider to the big wide world, where maybe people don't know how to deal with their emotions or their thoughts or their opinions, and they just attack. Like, that's, I kind of, because we're in the comfort of where people think about things before they speak. When you go out to like, not the whole wide world, you know what I'm trying to say.
There's a pool of people watching you, they're going to have opinions, and they're going to, and that's what the internet's like. I mean, there's people that would never say things to your face.
Yeah.
But they'll say it online because they're protected by the little screen.
And I'm just like, I need to, and I think because it doesn't, like with Molly May, like, she has it every 3 seconds, a newspaper article has been written about her and thousands of comments. So she's obviously grew a thick skin, but like, to me, like, it's only happened once. And I know it happened to you on TikTok as well, didn't it?
Yeah, it's happened to me before.
It like to me, I'm like, kill me now, like just hang me bare, like I would rather be naked on the bare. Street. Like,
yeah, the saber-toothed tiger is yeah. making strides towards you. Yeah.
Like I go full mode because, and the thing is as well, the more annoying thing is that I've, you know, now I've privated it, that makes me then look guilty as well. Like it makes me then look like, oh yeah, I have done something wrong, which I, that was a decision. Like I made the decision to have a drink because I wanted to have a fucking drink. And like, that's what people were saying in the comments, like give moms a break. Like, yeah. you know, like we make decisions for the decisions that we make and that's got nothing to do with you. So like, that's what the other two people had put in the comments, but.
You swear you're like a child abuser, the way people yeah, are carrying on. You're like, well, the punishments.
Bloody glass of water. And like, if you actually look at it, like so many people say when you drink and you breastfeed, it's like putting a drop into a swimming pool. Like that's how much it goes in. Like, so it's like not anything anyway. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Calm the fuck down. Calm the fuck down.
It makes me stressed, as you can see.
I know. And it's funny, like, I remember I had a few videos, because I did a few, like, analysis of Love is Blind and stuff like that, and I had a few videos go viral on TikTok, actually on Instagram. But some people wrote some funny comments, because obviously, like, what we do, like, NLP, hypnotherapy, all that stuff. We know a lot. We do know a lot about psychology and how humans work and, like, detecting subconscious patterns and things like that. But a lot of people out there just don't understand it. They don't get it. And I had a few people comment and they were like, okay, I'm a thumb doctor. Here's my opinion. And I was like, and they were like a psychologist comment, you know, they were like, oh, this person's just trying to scam you. And I was like, wow.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like,
yeah. And it did make me feel a certain type of way at first. But then I was like, oh, lol. I think, but it's not an issue for me, really. I think like I care a bit less, but I've got other issues, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the more I get there and the more it happens, I think because it like, I think a lot of people go for something that you maybe feel insecure about yourself. And I think that's what, you know, like I can't, like if I would constantly think, God, if I went, you know, viral and then someone said something about my weight or like things that I really fucking care about and that I've had a lot of experience negatively about. And like, that's what Molly May was saying like the other day, like something, someone had said like she'd ate herself or something. She just looked huge or something. And she was like, I was feeling really negative about myself this week anyway. So therefore it hit more. And I know that's always the way, isn't it? With any sort of like opinion attack.
Yeah. It's if it hits a nerve. Like you wouldn't care if someone said something completely off the mark.
Yeah.
Or like something that wasn't like a sensitive subject for you.
Yeah. But when it's then, like when it's my baby as well, and I'm like, God, people are thinking that about me, about my baby. Like, oh God, I don't want that. But my other friend Italia had it. Like, she went viral on TikTok a couple of times, and they were like berating her. Like, everyone's just gonna have an opinion, aren't they? And you kind of have to. You kind of. I will vouch. I'll go and put it back on.
Yeah, but like protect yourself. I mean, you did, and you made you made the decision to protect yourself in that moment, and that's like. What more that's can you fine. Do? You're like, I cannot mentally handle this right now. No. I don't need to.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to.
Well. Like, I don't need to have it in my life. Like, these are just people who, I mean, her handle's like Mrs. Digestive something.
As in the biscuit.
Digestive Warrior 4188, if you are listening.
Calling you out, Digestive Warrior. I don't know why my mind went towards the biscuit. I must be hungry.
Mine went to the biscuit. What else would it be?
What does it even mean, Digestive Warrior? That makes me think that she has had the shits. 100,000,000%. Like, you can't take glucose. You can't take any lactose. It's coming out of you like lava.
Let's be real. Unsubscribe. I'm like, I didn't even know you were fucking subscribed, so you don't need to tell
Digestive
me.
Warrior, I don't even know who you are, hon. Go find a toilet and just...
sort yourself out.
Heal your digestive problems, please. Ridiculous. The traitors...
Obsessed. My God. Not as big of a fan this year than I was last year. I'm going to put it out.
Interesting. Interesting. Why is that?
I was more invested in the people last year. I feel like this year everyone was like quite attacking of personalities, of like who they were as people. Like I feel like they were really like not playing the game in the way that it should be played this year. And then like everyone just outed everyone at the end. Like I think the two that finished probably knew that Frankie was definitely a faithful, but they just wanted more money. That's how I felt.
I thought that was so fascinating how they were like started cannibalizing each other at the end, like the fourth faithfuls, and they're literally just so distrusting. And I have a theory that because they've gotten it wrong so many times, and let's be honest, usually the faithfuls that make it to the end are the ones that are the worst at the game, which is why they're still there, because the traitors are like, you're not a threat to me, I'm going to keep you around.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a fucking clue who's a traitor.
Yeah.
All the ones that like are starting to clue on are the ones that go earlier, really.
Yeah. Like the first person that they got out. I can't remember her name, but I wish that she'd stayed in for longer. She seemed like a absolute...
She's too smart.
So smart.
And she also is just like, I think that's why people go in and they pretend to have different jobs.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you? Because like, imagine going in and being like, I psychoanalyze people as a job. And then they're going to be like, cool. Well,
cool. You're murdered. You're dead.
No, but I loved... God, I can't even remember her name. Not Linda.
Who is it?
Not...
Mina.
Yeah, I loved Mina. Like, I'm really sad because she played a very good game. And I think if she got to the end, I would have felt the same as I did with Harry last year. Like, I was very, I was on them. But the moment it goes wrong, I think this is the thing. Like, one day we're like, oh my God, Mina is smashing it. She's absolutely driving this home to the final. And then, like, one thing can be said or one thing can be done and, like, it all goes tits up, doesn't it? It changes so quick on it.
Do you think you could be a traitor or a faithful?
Oh, I feel like my initial personality is like, make me a traitor as an Aries. I'm like, I just want to be in the spotlight.
Yeah.
But I feel like people don't like me very much. So I feel like I would have been found out anyway.
What? You feel like in general people don't like you?
Yeah, like I feel like they're a bit cautious of me.
Interesting.
Yeah, like they would, and I'm quite like confident. Like you just get... bound down to be with your confidence, don't you? I'm not like a, you know, like a, who was like a really likable person, like Frankie, like she was really likable. I feel like I don't fall into that category. Like I've got too much of a personality.
I think Frankie was also just someone that just like seemed so pure and wholesome, and that just wouldn't probably have made a very good trader. Although you do say that, and sometimes they surprise you, so you just never know. But like, I think I would crumble under the pressure of being a trader. Really? Yeah,
you've got to be so careful with where the lie goes.
I also hate lying.
Yeah. Like you've got like everything is like 10 steps ahead. Work it back. How did this? Like you've got to be so clever, haven't you? Like
you do. And I also don't think I've got the energy reserves for it. I'm not going to lie.
Like for 3 weeks solid every day.
I'd be drained.
And like people watching you. You're constantly with people. Like it is a bit. It's a bit crazy. I think Charlotte played a good game in the way of like being a faithful going into a traitor. And I think if they didn't do that new thing at the end, she probably would have won.
Agreed. I thought the seer was introduced way too late in the game. I think if they had that like earlier on, maybe midway through, it would have added like an interesting little twist or something. But so close to the final, and the fact that Frankie actually just like, by pure chance, it didn't even sound like it was a huge, hugely strategic move of hers.
She was just like, I just want Charlotte for us to have our own
back. I know.
Yeah, and I feel like there was two lesser people for it to not go the way that it did and get nasty. Because it did get nasty, really, when you
It got a bit nasty at the end there, didn't it?
Yeah, which I think happened all the way through. Like, and I think the faithfuls were really faithful this time. Like, they were that passionate about being faithful that, like, I don't know, like, there was just so many things this year. I mean, we still loved it. We still binged it as we did last year, but I did like the people more. That's the thing with that game. It really depends on the casting. You've got to be so clever with who you're taking in. Have you watched The American Traitors?
No, because I only discovered The Traitors halfway through this year, like, through this season.
So you haven't even watched last year?
Oh, honey. Don't underestimate me. I watched this full season 3, then I went back and I watched all of season 1, and then I watched all of season 2.
Okay.
I binged the crap out of this. No wonder why I was like going crazy. I was like, can't leave the house, just have watch the Traitors.
So good.
But I haven't seen the US versions.
Okay, the US is quite good because it's their celebrities, so there's a lot of big characters, and like, I mean, Americans are just like a whole new, another level than us in the UK, aren't they? So like, there's one clip where they get this one guy out and he's like, and anyway, I'm a traitor. Fuck you guys, and then walks off. Like, they're that passionate about it.
The drama of it
all. They put like the UK one where Mina's like, I love you all, nothing's personal, like, you're amazing. And then like next to it is like, fuck you all.
Fuck you all. What I love about, actually, there's something I've noticed and I find it annoying, to be honest, is when they're doing the round table and they like apologize about voting. And I'm like, guys, this is the game. Can you just stop apologizing? Game. Like, they're like, I'm really sorry for this, Beck. I have voted for you. It's nothing personal. I'm really sorry. And I'm like, can you just stop?
Just stop. Yeah, I know. Did you watch Uncloaked, like the talk show that's afterwards?
I watched one of the last ones. I didn't watch it all the way through.
I actually love that one because it's all like the behind the scenes stuff. But like they were saying that on there that it kind of the game felt so real that you did actually feel like you were killing someone. You did actually feel, like, and I think that's why they're like, I'm so sorry, like I'm gonna have to kill you today.
Yes,
yeah, so you really believe it. It's like a murder mystery, isn't it? I can imagine.
Yeah, and I guess you're like in it. You're so immersed in it for a few weeks.
Yeah, it's heightened.
And they all say that they're like, you can't even imagine the level of like intensity. And I can kind of imagine it, but I do get sometimes like somewhat surprised by like the tears involved and stuff. Mm. I'm always like, whoa.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What was the one girl that was like really invested in? The blonde haired girl.
Livy and Leanne. Well, she was like, crying, wow, guys, you went next level. Yeah.
And lots of blame from them. They wouldn't take their own. Like,
oh, they could dish it, but they couldn't take it. Yeah.
Leanne was the worst for that.
Yeah, she was bad with that. But like, I just thought it was so funny how Livy was so dead set on Alexander being the traitor. And obviously at the end he was recruited, but like the whole way through, and she was like, it's Alexander, I know it is. Da-da-da. And it's so interesting, actually. What I find so funny about the show is that everyone thinks they're so good at reading people. And there's usually only like one or two people that actually are.
Yeah, and they're the quieter ones. They're the ones that don't really say much. I don't think Jake was actually very good at reading anyone. He just happened to look at Linda when she looked, and then he watched her. It was in his like vicinity to like. So I don't, because he didn't get another traitor out since then. Like I think he just happened to like.
True.
Look at the same at the right time. Like it's so weird, and I think like it's. I would like them to do it where we don't know who the traitors are, because it's so easy as a viewer watching knowing, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh my god, that was so obvious that they're the traitor, but it's obvious because we know.
So I think 100%.
It would be good if we didn't know. I don't know how they would do it, but like
you just have to cut out all of the bits in the turret, wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. Or like maybe like watch it, and then we have to get. I don't know. There's like a
whole. You have to guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Oh, I just lost my train of thought. The person who was so good though was last year. It was Jazz.
Yeah, he knew.
He was really good.
He knew from the get go. Yeah.
He was really good. But it's also interesting looking at how some people have no influence over the group.
Yeah, like not at all. Like to the
and some
point
people
of
a lot.
She, I can't even remember her name, the girl that was at the end. Like she knew that Harry was a traitor. She still went with him though. Still banished Jazz.
Oh yes, Molly.
Molly, like she knew deep down, really. Like she definitely I know. Did. But like Bless. Still wouldn't listen to Jazz because of the friendship, because of trust. Trust is crazy.
Yeah, it can blind you. It can blind you, truly.
Can't see a thing.
Can't see a thing. All right, shall we kind of end it there, do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot.
I know. An hour has gone by.
It has. We're back. I can't believe it.
We're back, and it's so nice to be back.
Yay. Just literally us having a catch-up more than anything, isn't it?
I know, but it's really nice. It's like a scheduled catch-up. This is what you have to do when you're adults, guys. You just have to start a podcast instead of, like, having a phone call.
Because otherwise it's 4 months down the line.
It's never going to happen. Yeah. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode. It's obviously a much more casual format than last time, I think. Last time we, like, always chose a topic and would talk on that topic, which was, like, fun.
Yeah.
But also, I think we started to run out of things, of, like, major topics to talk about, even though we only did, like, 8 episodes. But it was still challenging.
We talked heavy. We talked heavy topics as well.
Yeah. I feel like it's fun to, like, do a bit of, like, heavy and light, you know?
Bit of life, bit of this, bit of that.
Talk about random shit. Yeah, random shit that comes up throughout the week. I think that's always a good time. But, guys, give us a rating. Give us a review, because that's how we get out there. You know, we need to reboot this bad boy.
This bad boy is dead in the water right now.
Yeah. So please do some CPR on us. We'd very much appreciate it. And have a wonderful rest of your week. And we'll see you in the next one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.